In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you curse is withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. In our world today, we like good communication. We like to be listened to. We like to be heard. We want good, honest communication. Amen? Amen. And I would say to you that prayer is no different. Prayer is our way of talking to God. It's like a lifeline to heaven. I think that God wants that person-to-person kind of call. You know, when you're on the cell phone and you're talking to your best friend. My wife is here, and she's pretty much an introvert. But what I love is when she gets on the phone with her family, or if she gets on the phone with her girlfriend, and they're laughing these bellowing laughs, and she has a phrase every now and then. She says, "Child, do." And when she says that, that means it goes to another level in that conversation. And I just want to follow her around the room, not to just hear what they're saying, but just to delight in what they're talking about because she's so into it. Wouldn't it be wonderful for our prayer lives to be like that? That we would run back to God and tell God all about it. Say, "God, guess what happened today? This happened," and so forth. And you just let out this bellowing laugh. And you have your own phrases that you can talk to God about it. Wouldn't it be nice to do that? And I think that that's what God wants from us. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants that special connection. And that's the way prayer should be. It should be like talking to our best friend. Amen? Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Hide this preacher behind the cross that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. As I was looking at this text, the scene is Jerusalem. The time is a few days before Jesus' impending death. The immediate context is the day before, as they were coming into town, Jesus saw a fig tree, and he was probably hungry. But when he got to the tree, it only had leaves on it. There was no fruit. And Jesus cursed the tree. But he did it to illustrate the barrenness of the lack of faith that he experienced in Jerusalem, the lack of belief in him. But Peter remembered this, and he brought it back up the next day about the withered tree. And Jesus says, since the disciples are sort of excited about what happened, this might be a great time to have a discourse on prayer. Notice what Jesus taught in verse 22. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, if we don't have faith in God, what's the point in praying? Hello? If we don't have faith in God, what's the point in praying? We would be like what the skeptics say about us as Christians. They say that we're like a mad person talking to himself. That's what prayer would be like, but we know it's different. Amen? We know that we serve a loving God who hears, who understands, whose ear is inclined to his people. He's up high, but he listens low. Amen? And he hears our concerns. Jesus says the first step in prayer is to have faith in God. And then the next verse, he says that if you had this kind of faith, you can tell a mountain to be removed and cast into the sea, and it will. I mean, just think of a mountain, how big it is, how much machinery it would take to remove a mountain. Jesus says, your faith could do it. That if we really believe that. Now, a mountain can be that thing in our lives that we see as permanent or we see as impossible. Amen? Some of us, we're struggling in our marriage. And we don't see any hope, but Jesus would tell us, have faith in God. Amen? Amen. Some of us, we look at our finances and we're in so much debt. We don't know how to get out of debt. We don't even know if our dreams will be realized because we're in so much debt. But Jesus says, have faith in who? Some of us, maybe that mountain is our health. We don't get around like we used to. Hello? I'm not 35 anymore. Things changed. Maybe your health is not good because of a condition. Maybe you didn't get the best report. But Jesus says, have faith in God. And that if we have this faith in God, and that we believe in him, that we can tell the mountain, be thou removed, and it will be cast into the sea. The mountain in your life I'm talking about. I thought about it, and I said, you know, we give our loyalties away so easily. We put our faith in people, places, and things. We put our faith in money. We put our faith in religious leaders, political leaders, dead or alive. We put our faith in creeds and philosophies. But what I like about this text is not talking about generic faith. It's talking about having faith in who? Having faith in God. Then he says, whatever you pray for, whatever you ask, believe that you have already received it, and it shall be yours. Before I came to this job, that's God calling. Don't worry about it. It's okay. About a year ago, I went to Bishop Cho, and I said, Bishop Cho, I want to go back into the church. I'm ready to leave this conference position. I was doing 3 full-time positions and a half-time on one person. We service over 1,600 churches. And I wasn't working out of my passion. No, I would tell you, I was grateful to have a job. Anybody grateful to have a job? My grandmother used to say, I never had the job I wanted, but God always provided me with something. So I was grateful to have a job, but I was probably working 20% out of my passion. And so I went to Bishop Cho. Bishop Cho, I want to get back into the church. And he says, Derek, let's pray about it. I really didn't want that answer. You ever go to somebody you don't want the answer to give you? And so he said, let's pray about it. And we prayed, and then he called me back a few days later. Any of you know Bishop Cho, he's a praying man. He says, Derek, I don't feel in my spirit that God wants you to leave at this time. He said, will you trust God with me? I said, yes, sir. And I walked out of the office, and you know how we do, even though we're grown. Daggone it, man, I'm trying to get out of this place. But I trust God for it. And I started just doing the job as unto the Lord. And the next year, I didn't even ask any questions. They came looking for me. And here's what I was told. I was told that every district superintendent wanted me on their district. I'm grateful for that. But he says, I got a job for you. He says, I'm going to send you to Providence United Methodist Church right here in Richmond. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to be a blessing to them. Can I just say that you've already been a blessing to me and that I have loved every single minute of it? But here's what I want you to get. When I let it go, when I stopped worrying about it, when I stopped trying to figure out how God was going to do it and just believe that it was going to happen in its time, guess what? It happened. Are we willing to let God be God all by himself? Can God be God all by himself? He don't really need our help to be God, does he? Choir, does God need our help to be God? No. He can be God all by himself, right?
Yes.
My friends, it's good to believe. It's good to trust. It's good to believe and not doubt. It's good to let God be God. Jesus says, that the very things that we're worried about will be removed. Listen to the last thing he says in verse 24. If you have an ought against any person, forgive, so that you may be forgiven. Listen to what Jesus is actually teaching the disciples. You want to short circuit your prayer life? Walk around with an unforgiven spirit. You want to short-circuit your prayer life? Just walk around mean and nasty and cantankerous and see what happens. So in order for our prayers to ever be heard and answered, we must forgive. I don't know. I mean, you know we can talk to the Lord, but I wondered if I was one of the disciples. I'm sure that this would be one of the questions I would have asked Jesus himself. Teach me how to pray. And Jesus says, since you ask, have faith in God. Tell your mountains to be removed in Jesus' name, and they shall be removed. And when you pray, act as if you've already received it and it shall be yours. And by the way, don't walk around with an unforgiving spirit. Because if you do, you'll short circuit your prayer life. Oh, my friends, we ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise for teaching us something. Not to give, amen. Not to put our hopes in man or woman or person or place or thing, but in God himself. Amen? Not even in your preacher. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in God. Would you grab the hands of the person next to you? And we do this so that we can touch and agree. He said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So let us pray. Open to the next page so I can see what's happening. Most gracious God, we love you. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for teaching us about prayer and what it means to pray. Father, there are mountains in folks' lives right now. And some have come in and their burden. I don't know what those burdens are, but you know. But I pray they heard you this morning. That if there is a mountain in their life that seems permanent and impossible, that they can pray in Jesus' name and that mountain would be removed. Father, we thank you for loving us. We seem so little compared to life, and our troubles seem so big. Lord, give us the courage to face the day. Give us hope for tomorrow. Help us to trust you. When we're scared, when we're frightened, when we don't know how it's going to work out, help us to have faith in you. Father, I thank you for Providence United Methodist Church. I thank you for this incredible place of believers, folks who are ready to serve you, to live for you. And I pray that you would have your way in every one of our lives. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.